The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Sasan Garmani, SGH Macro Advisors. Let's start by looking at Russia, because this is certainly a big deal in the currency markets, and if you're a big global auto company, you deal every day in and day out with currencies. How important is it? Are we past the worst? Is the crisis ending, or does more threat
is
lie ahead?
Shoe to drop. Yeah, I mean, I think geopolitical risks are clearly still lingering in the background, and you can tell because every time you get some sort of a relief bit of news from Europe over Russia and the Crimea, it does help fuel the rally a little bit. We've maintained that we have been in a de-escalation mode almost since before Russia invaded Crimea. You know, the feeling really from Europe and the U.S. was we knew that they were gonna, and I use the word invade, since before the referendum. We knew that Crimea was lost, and the question was, what do you do at that point? And really, this is, we are in a containment policy and we are in de-escalation mode. There's a storyline that's going on out there that the U.S. is trying to get the Europeans on board for another ratchet up of sanctions. It's a good story. It's a little bit of a red herring, to be frank. I mean, there's nothing that we want from Putin now except, quote unquote, change your behavior. What we want from him is to not do something. So the name of the game here is a little bit of a slap, but you don't want to draw blood on the other side. You don't want the other side to escalate either. The dog that hasn't barked here from the Russian side is the cutoff of the gas. And this is very deliberate. The Russians they know that this is the card that they hold that would really freak out the Europeans. And they've been very careful to say, look, we're not about to cut off your gas. Yeah, they raised the price to Ukraine and so on and so forth.
What are the markets saying, Sas? Because we've seen the rebound of the ruble and also the MISEX, the benchmark index in Russia, big time. Are they supporting Putin, or are they just saying, okay, conflict over?
That's a good point, Bonnie. I think the markets are saying that that we can take it. We can take this. We've had a tit for tat, and you know, we've imposed sanctions. We imposed sanction on a dinky, Bank Russia. We haven't done anything with VTB. We haven't done anything with Sberbank.
So the market agrees with you that we are not going to take, the Western powers are not going to take big steps. They say, they want this to be over.
And so we're saying, okay, maybe we'll keep pressure on Putin if his markets stay weak and all that. I don't think their markets are going to stay weak. I think they're going to say, okay, we're going to have, look, it's not over. We still have the May 25th elections in the Ukraine. The Russians, we can get into this, in a lot of depth. They still want influence over the Ukraine. There's a NATO angle and so on and so forth. But the sides don't want neither side wants a conflict to escalate.
So does the focus now turn for one to the ECB and the next meeting and what Mario Draghi is going to do? You believe he's going to lay the groundwork for QE, for quantitative easing, which is complicated in Europe, a little bit different than the United States.
It's complicated. And actually, we put something out in February 28th before the last ECB meeting. And what we pointed to at the time was there's this talk, it gets a little technical, about whether you sterilize or you don't sterilize bonds that the ECB has on its balance sheet. It's seen as a very limited measure, but actually is an interesting signaling effect in that really you could look at this as a bit of an opening of the door towards, a different kind of monetary policy here. And what you've had is you've had a little bit of softening, not a lot, a little bit of softening from the Bundesbank, which has been the big bastion against bond purchases. And what they're saying here, and Weidmann, the president of the Bundesbank, came out yesterday and said this, they're not saying we love this or we're about to do it. They're saying we need to have a common position on what we can and what we can't do when it comes to bond purchases. Now, the ECB can buy sovereign bonds. They can go, they've done it. They bought Greek bonds, Portuguese bonds, and so on. They can buy sovereign bonds. The argument is over why you're buying them and whether it's monetary financing and so on. They need to come to a common position on this. It doesn't mean that they're about to do it. But the interesting thing to us is, what is A, you're sort of moving in this position, and B, once you have that, it lays the groundwork to do some of the conventional stuff, because one of the fears with the conventional stuff is you is the whole concern that you have limited ammunition. If you take the conventional step, a little cut in the refi, the S&P purchase something, you need to, then market's going to say, what next? You got to have something in your back pocket that's credible. And this is, I think, what stopped them actually at the last meeting, because they said, okay, if we do this, then people are going to say, okay, that's great, what next? If they get the what next in place, they can do the easier stuff.
What's in the Bank of Japan's back pocket, or even the Prime Minister Shinzo Abe? We're going to have the sales tax coming in next week.
The sales tax is coming in. The Bank of Japan has said we can take it, and in fact, Kuroda was a big proponent, and he kind of owns the sales tax. He said, "You guys push for it. The economy can take it. We know there's going to be a slowdown, and you know we'll deal with it when we see it." One of the problems for them is that they expected a big pickup in spending before the sales tax, and that's sort of not coming through, right? So this has got people a little, okay, now you got it, now what are you going to do? So now there's speculation that the Bank of Japan might come back to the table. You had one of Abe's advisors come out and say Bank of Japan might come in May once you start to get the effects of the April tax hike felt. The problem for Kuroda is that he is creating a little bit of inflation, but you're not getting the wage growth in Japan. And so what's happening here is he doesn't have as much consensus within the Bank of Japan, within the board right now, because if you keep fueling inflation and you're not getting wage growth, it's actually negative for the economy. You start cutting into people's disposable income. It's getting a little trickier right now.
Could we finish up briefly your final point, the third global central bank, the Fed?
Sure. I think the Fed, you know, look, the Fed took a very big step at this last meeting. They moved from the quantitative guidance to the qualitative guidance, and I think that tactically that happened to be very well timed, because it was at a time when, look, we did have these relatively more mixed numbers, I won't call them weak, more mixed numbers because of the weather, and so they could do that without really getting a huge sell-off in the markets on concern that this sort of anchor has been disanchored. I think this is going to be a bit more of a challenge for them as we go forward in the year, and as we heard earlier from Bill, manufacturer picks up and so on. As we can get growth, I think they'll have a bit more of a challenge managing rates going forward.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.